This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
You're just cosmetically thinking that if I can just change myself by myself, then I'm going to be happy. And you find out that you're not. You find out that you're not. And until you find the real source of happiness, which is that established heart of grace, the established heart of Jesus, you're just fooling yourself.
Text to Give with SecureGive is a fast, easy way to give from anywhere, anytime. It's just two quick steps. First, text the keyword CDMVC followed by the amount you like to give to 74483. Second, when asked to confirm, just text Y and your transaction is complete. That's all there is to it. Text to Give. The fastest, easiest way to give on the go.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let our sunshine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Now, in order to understand a heart that's established in grace, let's look at the opposite of a heart that's not established in grace. See, the alternative to a heart established with grace is a restless and a fearful heart. It's a heart that can't find rest. Why? Because you're always worried about, how am I going to get this, and how am I going to do this, and how am I going to do this? But when your heart's established with grace, all that's been settled. Grace has already showed you all of what you need comes out of grace. So if your heart's not established in grace, your heart's going to be established in restlessness. And that's what we see today. When your heart's not established in grace, your heart is going to, well, how am I going to do this? And what if that happened? And what if that take place? Oh, Lord Jesus, what if I lose my job? Oh, I started building this. My supply is stuck on the dock. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, they ain't doing that. Oh, they're talking about doing that. Oh, the war. Oh, oil is $100 a barrel. You ain't buying no barrel. You're just trying to fill your tank up. what you worrying about a barrel? But when your heart's established in grace, you know what your heart will say? I'll have enough to fill my tank up every time I need to fill my tank up. Why? Because Jehovah Jireh. Hey, glory to God. I'll always have enough. I have faith that the grace of God is my abounding provision for my life. So whatever provision I need, my heart's established in grace. You see that now? My heart's established in grace. But when it's not established in grace, and you don't think it's a big deal to establish your heart in grace, your heart is not only going to be restless because you're concerned about everything, just everything that's going on. And, oh, Lord have mercy. Lord, they're shooting missiles from ships. My God, it's World War III coming. Oh, what the prophet said. Oh, something getting ready to happen. Gog and Magog. You don't even know what no Gog and Magog. Well, if your heart's not established in grace, here's the second thing you're going to see. You're going to have a fearful heart. Look at this advantage. When I think about establishing my heart in grace, here's what that looks like. I'm going to make confessions concerning it, what I have by the grace of God. I'm going to have some scriptures to meditate on, what I have by the grace of God. I'm going to cause myself to respond with the grace of God. And what happens over a period of time, what am I doing? The process is establishing my heart. I'm getting my heart established in this. And so when crazy stuff goes on, out of my heart flows what grace has made available. Now, there's no magic act, so there's nothing magical. The Holy Ghost is not going to just pour on you an established heart. You know, the Holy Ghost, oh, God, give me an established heart. No. I appreciate you asking God to give you an established heart. But here's how He's going to give you an established heart. You take the word, you take the promises, you take everything you are, you take everything you're learning about grace, and you get it in here. You give it attention. You give it attention. You give attention to the word of grace. Your heart becomes established in that word. And so it's a renewing of the mind, in a sense, until you renew the spirit of your mind. And so when things happen, automatically, this is how you respond. Automatically, this is how you think. Automatically, there's courage instead of fear. Automatically, you're sleeping. Why? Because your heart is established in the peace that comes by grace and not the chaos that comes by the news media and all the crazy things that are happening in the world. Oh, I can't go to this place. I can't go to that place because they're shooting. They just had a shooting down there. I can't go there. Or they just did that. Oh, I'm scared to let my kids go to school. It's crazy. The clutter is out of, the clutter is enough to just drive you in fear. And you're just like a hermit in the corner somewhere, like, I better not go nowhere. It's a full moon tonight. Oh, summertime coming. You know, crime go up when it's hot. That's not a heart established in grace. So it's a process. Are you willing to go through the process to get your heart established in grace? What you give your attention to the most, that's what you're going to have the potential to establish in your heart. I'm establishing my heart in grace. Or I've got a restless heart, or I have a fearful, fear-filled heart. A believer now says, I'm going to strive in my own power. Yeah, now I don't need to establish my heart in grace. I'm going to do this on my own. Lots of people in the world who think they're a little high strung. They think they're more than what they really are. And they think through my own power. And people preach that. They preach self-help and you can do this, and it encourages you. And I'm telling you, I don't care who you are, you're going to need Jesus one day. Work real hard with your own effort. Get the biggest house you can. Get all the money you can. Get all your nice cars you can. Get married. Get you a trophy wife or a trophy husband. Do all of that stuff. Do it all. And one day you're going to wake up like, you know what? I ain't happy. Because that stuff doesn't bring the joy that comes from God. It brings a temporary satisfaction, and then you put happiness around it, and then you pretend like you're happy. But you need Jesus. You need Jesus. See, mammon and money can buy you a house, but only God can make it a home. Mammon and money can buy you medicine, but only Jesus can heal you. Halaboshaka. You're never satisfied. You're in a cosmetic mentality where you're just cosmetically thinking that if I can just change myself by myself, then I'm gonna be happy. And you find out that you're not. You find out that you're not. And until you find the real source of happiness, which is that established heart of grace, the established heart of Jesus, you're just fooling yourself. And you can go to church after church after church, and well, I'm offended. I don't like that pastor dollar gets on my nerves. I still love you, baby, because I'm learning how to love my enemies. I'm learning that. It's not enough for me to love people that love me. That's easy to do. I'm learning how to love people who don't love me, who don't like me. And I have to keep that collar part down, because that collar part want to rise up. And slitting in you. Now, listen to me carefully here. This is so important. So as you strive in your own power, you're being accompanied by your failures. You're being accompanied with the fears of possibly being lost. Your heart's not being established in grace. So what does that cause when your heart's not established in grace? Stress, distress. Uncertainty, fainting, giving up, caving in, quitting. But when it's seen that God's work of grace cannot fail, when you see that, because of Him, it won't fail. The heart does, it finds rest at that particular point. It becomes established at that particular point. And then you become rooted and grounded, watch this, in love. I get that now. are rooted and grounded, the roots begin to grow out. Go to Ephesians 3. You remember that, baby? Ephesians 3:17 in the New Living Translation. Ephesians 3:17, New Translation. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. That's the same thing as your heart being established with grace. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Can you trust that out of grace, you'll be strong? Can you trust that you're righteous? Can you trust that you're redeemed? Can you trust all the things that Jesus said you are? He says Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Christ will make his home in your heart. That's the ultimate of Christianity. Christ living in you, making his home in your heart. It's not finding out all the principles so you can get God to work for you. Somehow this has got to become a personal relationship. Somehow you need to get to that place where you're loving him if it seems like he's not even answering no prayer. I can't really explain how I got to this particular point, but nothing matters to me right now but him. I guess I can. He just dropped something in my thinking. I guess when you go through enough trials, you quit trying to do stuff on your own. You know? The old people used to say like that, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then one day you just say, I give up. And heaven has a parade that day. Yay! Finally! We can get something done. And here's the joyful thing about it. Is when that day comes and you say, I'm done, what you're saying is, I'm gonna stop trying to make stuff happen on my own. And God will do something so amazing, like in a day or two, do something you've been trying to do for the last 10 years. And then when it happens, he says to you, he whispers this in your spirit, that's favor. If you are doing something that you can later on boast about, that's you and not him. Because when it's him, there is no boasting. For I am saved by grace through faith. There is no boasting because it's a gift from God. But some Christians are more satisfied in, no, God helps them that helps themselves. No, God helps those who need help. And your problem is you don't think you need no help because you think you have helped yourself all this time. And what happens sometimes is on your journey to try to be successful, you don't pause to look around you to see all of the people you are stepping on, disregarding, being rude to, ignoring on your journey to success. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. But he's not done with me yet. I've come a long way. But I'm looking forward to the finished product that he promised that he will be finishing at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will be like him. And I will see him like he is. But some folks too doggone religious for you even talk to them like this. Reverend. Reverend, you have problems. Every godly person has issues. The Bible says that. They that live godly shall have persecutions. But the persecutions are designed to promote maturity. Don't pray to God, oh, no more trials, no more trials. Just pray to God, help me to do what I need to do so trials are not necessary. Because they are a necessary part of life to mature you as a Christian. You can't be a baby Christian all your life. You can't be a baby Christian all your life getting offended every time somebody didn't say nothing to you, getting offended because your friend didn't call you back. You're just a little baby Christian. You're mad at somebody. Who you mad at today? You upset with this person, upset with that person. Who? It's a bunch of baby Christians. You're doing stuff because you're baby Christian, and you're just baby, 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 because you don't understand the purpose of a trial. When you have a trial at a church, don't run from the church. Run through the trial and enjoy the maturity that is born out of the trial. Quit church hopping every time trouble knock on your door. If trouble's knocking on your door, you still need to mature some more. I need to be a rap singer. That's what you do know that, right? You're never going to be void of trouble because you're always going to be growing until you see Jesus. So quit gossiping. Quit being mad at everybody. Quit playing the blame game. Get out of the circle. Quit walking in guilt and shame. Quit getting upset with all your leaders. Well, I don't know what qualified them, and I don't know why they let them do this and don't let me. That's baby talk. It sounds like this in heaven. Google, gaga, Google, gaga. And you think you're intelligent. Google, gaga. Just whine. Why? See, down here you're like, why? But up there it's like, why? If I can't bring this into a practical position for your life so that you can understand what I'm saying, why go over the scripture if I can't bring it to where you live? You follow what I'm saying? So now when I go home, you begin to think, I need to get my heart established in grace. I need to let Jesus make a home in my heart, and I need to start trusting him. And then what he says, if you'll do that, your roots will grow down into God's love. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So, what's the testimony I want heaven to be familiar with when I die and I go home to be with the Lord? Is it, Lord, I fed 5 million people. Lord, I delivered 30 cities from homelessness. Is that what I really want them to know? Am I going to be coming into heaven announcing my good works? No. Whatever you did down here is what you were supposed to do. That was expected of you. Because good works should be born out of love. Any works that you've done and it wasn't born out of love is not received. If you did good works because it was good work, get your name in the paper, get somebody to talk about you, or pat you on the back, you ain't gonna hear nothing about that when you get to heaven. Except it wasn't born out of love. And you can tell when somebody do something not born out of love because you get offended, you get upset. If it was out of love, you're just doing it out of love. You're not sitting up there talking about, church folks just get on my nerves, talking about they're gonna be there to help you and they don't ever show up. I know now. You're not doing that out of love. You're doing that out of self. So what is the thing I want them talking about? I want them to say his roots grew. And he learned how to love people. He learned how to love enemies. He learned how to love friends. He learned how to love. Teach me how to love. where's your failure? It's where love is. I told the story this Wednesday on, me and Taffy were talking, I came in our office and I said, I feel like we need to, and then I said, I feel like from God that we need to change how we're framing love when we talk about it's not enough. Because, you know, in some relationships, they say, well, love's just not enough. You know, in the famous song, what love got to do with it? What love? It's a second hand, and that's the problem. It's not an emotion. Love's not enough, when in fact, it's not love that's, he says, I'm love. God is love. Yeah, but you know the different kinds of love. That's what you say. He said, God is love. And so what's not enough is communication is not enough. Maybe sex and marriage is not enough. Maybe your commitment is not enough. Maybe all your works is not enough. But when everything becomes satisfying, it'll be called love. It's not that love's not enough. It's all that other stuff that's not enough. God is love, and that's how you need to be seeing this. God is love, and He is enough. I wish we wouldn't even call the other stuff love. God is love, and He is enough. And God is enough to help you with your communication, to help you in your sex life, to help you in your commitments, to help you in all of those things that are not enough. Because God is enough, which means love is enough. And He said to me, stop saying love's not enough. Now, you know, people have their own opinions about it. That's fine. But I'm going to work that out of my vocabulary to say, well, God is love. God is love. God is love. God is enough. God is love. God is love. God is enough. If I even get my heart established in that, that by itself would begin to help all of those other things that are not enough. Now, certainly, there are lots of things that people do in their marriage that's not enough. But it's not God. Well, I got saved, and I went to church, and she's still talking foolish. That never works. Somebody gets saved, and you think they're supposed to change because they got saved. Now you got to renew your mind in all the stuff that was missing. You got to learn how to be committed. You got to learn how to communicate in your sex life. You got to learn how to do those things that are not selfishly motivated. God's enough. It's quiet in here. Can you see that? God's enough. He's enough. If you understand the true essence of who He is, He's enough. And if you spend time with Him, He'll start talking to you about the stuff that's not enough. Love will help you to increase in those areas that's not enough. Love will tell you, every time you come in the house, you got something negative to say about your wife. When you gonna start saying something positive about her? Well, I'm trying to communicate. That ain't how you communicate, being negative all the time. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 in the King James. Hebrews chapter 12 and 28 in King James. I always struggled in traditional church. I struggled with, I'm serving God, but is He accepting it? Is it acceptable? And I'll cut the grass in the church, and I'll watch the vehicles in the church, and I'll play the piano in the church, and I'll preside in the church, and I'll do all the things I need to do, and I still had questions, is this acceptable? He said, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and respect and with godly fear. What I didn't have was the grace established in my heart to know that He accepts it. It's born out of grace. It's born out of love. It's acceptable. What I was doing before was, you know, I didn't know that I could have grace, but I knew you were supposed to serve God, but I didn't quite know how to do that. But motivated by love and out of love, all your things that you do on this earth, if it's not born out of love, that's the only way it's not acceptable. But he's given us grace so it can be.
Have you ever wondered what God made available to you through grace? Creflo Dollar reveals the provisions contained within this unique gift from God in his series, Grace, God's Provision for the Believer.
It is grace upon grace that removes fear and it gives assurance. It brings stability and direction to your earthly life. God says, I'm going to cause my goodness to get on you when you don't think it ought to be on you, and it's going to change your mind about the dumb behavior that you did, and I'm going to have you walking grace upon grace upon grace until you can't hardly take it no more, because his mercy kept showing up when you know you didn't deserve it, and grace upon grace upon grace upon grace.
For a love gift of $25 or more plus shipping and handling, this four-message series can be yours today. Simply call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit CreflodollarMinistries.org and click on eStore. Take the first steps on the path of righteousness today.
Download and stay connected with the Changing Your World podcast with Creflo Dollar. Keep the Word of God at the forefront of your mind with these powerful and uplifting messages.
You've got to figure out a way to maintain your meditation on Him. You got to think on Him. I want my thinking to be on God. I want my thinking to be on His Word. I want my thinking to be on life. I want my thinking to be on His promises. Keep your mind stayed upon Him and walk in His presence.
With each message that you download and stream, you gain revelation of the fullness of God's grace.
And how many of you know we've got to shine the light out so that we can see God and we can experience His plan for our life and we can see what He wants to do and turn situations around.
The Changing Your World podcast brings you life-changing wisdom right at your fingertips, no matter where you are. Subscribe today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
Have you ever wondered how the financial support from our viewers makes a difference in people's lives? We receive testimonies every day from people whose lives have been shattered by natural disasters, failed marriages, bankrupt businesses, and so on. They share how our outreach efforts and messages about God's grace have changed their lives in a tangible way. And for that, we give God all the glory. Today, I invite you to prayerfully consider financially supporting this ministry. We know you'll be empowered to see real change in others and prosper in your own life.
If God has placed it on your heart to support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to CreflodollarMinistries.org. God bless you.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.
The preceding program was brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.